Welcome to the Bible Foundations program. I'm your host, Jerry Smythe, and again, I'm happy to have you with us as we continue our study of Genesis chapter 3. Now, we're building foundations that will last in our understanding of God's communication with man. We're giving a panoramic view from God's Word in chronological order so that we can see God's revelation to mankind, what He had to say, and how important it is for us to know what He said so that we may know how to come to Him His way. You see, God knows everything. And we've learned that because He knows everything and because He's so holy and He's so righteous, that He must punish all sin. And we know that Satan, even though he won a temporary victory here, if you might say, in Eve in deceiving her and causing her to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, that there is a promise of hope to conquer him forever, as we learn about that in our lesson today. And we see God in his consistent judgment of sin. He's always consistent. He always does what he says he'll do. He keeps his word. And so we go on to see how we got into the mess we're in today. You see, how is it we have people continually complaining about the mess we're in? They ask me, if God is loving, why is this happening in the world? And why is there that injustice? And why is there this other? You see, the problem is that mankind has chosen to go his own way, to believe what he wants to believe, not necessarily believe what God has said. We choose to go to come to God our own way instead of God's way, and that's not acceptable to him. You see, God has made a way now, a promise of a way to overcome Satan in spite of our sin, in spite of Adam and Eve's sin. In their time of judgment, there was a ray of hope given, a ray of hope given in Genesis chapter 3:15, as we see God giving the promise of the deliverer, the one who would crush the serpent's head, although his own heel would be bruised. Verse 15 says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we've studied together that this was the only hope that there was for Adam and Eve, as they were under the penalty of death for sin. You see, God has declared that the payment for sin is death. That's what he declared to Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, in the day that you eat of the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. And they died indeed. They were separated from God, cut off from their fellowship with him, cut off from the source of their life. They were no longer friends with God. They had chosen by this act to be friends with Satan himself, and to be the children of Satan, if you will. And the scripture reminds us that this payment of sin, which is death, is first of all separation from God. Then there is physical death, which we have been lied about to. We have been led to believe that all there is the end of this body. And when the body dies, that's the end of it. The actual soul and spirit of a man vanishes. It no longer exists, is what the devil would have you believe. But that's not what the Bible says, my friend. You see, when there's physical death, it's just like a house that's empty. The body is without the spirit and without the soul. It's like a house that's empty. There's nobody home. And so there is physical death. And Satan said to Eve, well, if you take of the fruit, you'll not die. He was referring to the physical death of God, of the body, of course, but he didn't tell her what God meant by separation from him. He knew what it meant to be separated from God, for he'd been cast out of God's presence, separated, and the promise for him was eternal punishment, separation from God forever in the lake of fire. And that's the third picture of death for mankind. So death to man, payment for sin is death. First of all, separation from God. Secondly, physical death. And then finally, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. You see, the point of our lesson in Genesis chapter 3 is that man is accountable to God. You can't hide from God. And when Adam sinned, when he chose to take of the fruit that Eve offered to him, having been deceived, he could have come to God asking forgiveness right at that point, admitting that he'd sinned and asking God's mercy. But now he comes with an attitude that's changed. His attitude is changed, and we see that because he's discovered that his body is naked. He's bare before God. He has no covering whatsoever. And suddenly he realizes that nothing that he's put on is of any value, even though he tries to cover himself with fig leaves, if you will, with leaves, and then hide in the garden. You see, his attitude had changed because he had sinned. Now he was afraid of his Creator. Now he was afraid of the consequence of his disobedience. Well, we saw in our lesson that God cursed the snake. And in that same verse, he promised, then the next verse, he promised the deliverer, the one who would be a person who could deliver man who is now sold into slavery of following Satan in sin. That's what we are, folks. We are independent of God. You and I, as we'll see, are born independent of God. We all come from Adam's race, and the Bible tells us that when Adam sinned, all have sinned thereafter. We're born spiritually dead, separated from God. Spiritually separated from God. But God gives a ray of hope. He gives a ray of hope in promising that the deliverer would come to deliver mankind as well as Adam and Eve from the penalty of their sin. They would indeed, and had already been, separated from God in their fellowship with God, separated from their source of life. And we'll see that they indeed would physically die, but we'll also see that they have a hope in the promise of the deliverer. But the curse that comes on the woman and the man follows now as we read on in Genesis 3:16. Now, there are always physical consequences to sin. When we read God's word, we must understand the difference between God's grace and God's government. When God makes a decree, it will come to pass just the way he says it, my friend. And when God judges sin, it's because his holiness demands it. He's absolutely consistent. So now we see the consequence of Eve as that's given to Eve as God gives his curse to her. He says in verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will now greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall have rule over you. Now you remember that it was God that created marriage in the first place, and it is God who knew what was best for a man and woman to be joined together in matrimony and for them to be one flesh as God ordained it in Genesis, the end of chapter 2. And God spoke now to Eve, and he told her that because she had disobeyed the Lord, that she and all future mothers would suffer in childbirth and that her husband would have authority over her. This was God's decree to them. And that's what God has said, and that's what God has declared would be the case from this point on. But now look and see what God says to Adam in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You see, God has a consequence to sin for every mankind. When we fail to obey God's commands and his desires, then we suffer the consequences physically as well. Adam had foolishly listened to Eve instead of obeying God and obeying what God had said to him. You see, Adam had known what God had said, but he was willing to follow Eve's suggestion rather than to do what he knew to be God's will. Oh, how subtly Satan works to cause us to believe him instead of God. Even our own families can hinder us and make us think that we don't need to believe in God. You see, Satan used the snake to deceive Eve, but he used Eve to cause Adam to disobey God. Neither Adam nor Eve made a right choice, and both of them knew what God had said. You see, we need to be sure that we are believing God instead of believing men. As we've learned before, Satan often speaks his lies to us through people, and he tries to make those lies seem even very attractive. You may remember that the first lesson that we had was on the authority of the Bible, and we must keep continually in our minds that God's Word was written to us so that we could know Him and know what is right. God is supreme. He's the supreme authority for all truth. No one is as wise as He is. You see, Eve decided to find out if Satan was wiser than God, and Adam decided that he would make his own choices about life. And so the story of the results of Adam and Eve's sin should be enough to warn every one of us to take a good look at the Bible, to learn what it really says, and to believe what God says to us in His Word, what it tells us about Him. You see, because Adam and Eve listened to Satan, they fell into his trap and disobeyed God. Therefore, God said that from that time on, the ground would be cursed. Now let's just think back a little bit. Before Adam had sinned, he took care of the garden. Everything grew without Adam doing any hard work. Weeds didn't grow, and there were no pests. I take that to mean that there were no mosquitoes, at least not that pestered man like we know today. But when Adam sinned, God cursed the earth. Many weeds began to grow. This made Adam's work very difficult, hard, plain old hard work, the sweat of his brow. And the result of sin impacted not only Adam and Eve, but also the lovely garden that God had given them. In fact, all the bad things in the world exist because of disobedience to God. Why is man in such a mess today in so many ways? It's because of sin, my friend. It's because of our disobedience to God, our refusal to submit ourselves to Him, because of our independent attitude, our decision to just do it for ourselves. We don't need anybody, we think, instead of submitting our will to the will of God. You see, that's why all these things happen in the world around us today. Is your home in trouble? Is your marriage in trouble? Well, look to God's Word, my friend. There's hope. When you come to God's way, then He gives a ray of hope for any situation. Now, Satan and his followers disobeyed God, and now they roam the earth. And when man disobeyed, man's sin affected all of creation. Why should man's sin have affected all creation? You see, God made the earth for man. Because God loved man, and He had given man everything that he needed, because He loved man, God had made the things not just adequate, but He'd made them very beautiful and plentiful. And now man had rejected God's love for him. You see, part of the consequence was that man would no longer live in a perfect environment. We live in a world that still suffers from that curse. We constantly struggle against sickness, against pain, against weakness, against pain in childbirth. We struggle against hard work. It seems like we live from morning to night just to earn enough to put food on the table and pay the bills. And difficult weather conditions surround us continually. And animals and insect pests, there are weeds and sorrow and grief and death. You see, none of these things were there before. There were none of them in the world before Adam and Eve sinned. God had given them a perfect place to live, and He wanted them to live in perfect harmony with Him forever. But man chose to rebel against God, and that rebellion brought disastrous consequences, which we still suffer to this day. You see, Adam's body must die, just as God said. He promised that in the day that you would surely die, and in the day that he died, he was separated from God. God had made Adam from the dust of the ground, and because Adam had sinned, God told Adam that his body must die and go back to the earth. When he created Adam and Eve, God did not intend for them to die. He intended for them to eat of the tree of life. But now in their sin, it was a different situation. But now Adam and Eve must die because of their disobedience to God. You see, the punishment for sin is death, not just physical death, but separation from God now and forever, and eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Now in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, we read, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." The significance of this verse bears direct on you and I. You see, even though people have different colors of skin, we are all originally from the same parents, Adam and Eve. Acts 17:26 says that God hath made of one blood all nations of men. Of one blood all nations of men. Eve is the first woman and the mother of every human being. Adam was the father of us all. Adam was separated from God because he turned away from obeying God. Adam's sin ruined his perfect relationship with God and also the perfect earth that God had given him to live in. Sin had set off a chain of sorrows, a chain of sorrows that affects us to this day. You see, because of Adam's sin, he would die, and all of his children would also die. Look at the genealogies. They lived physically for a period of time, but I'm telling you, all have died. All of your ancestors have died, my friend, and you and I will die because of the curse of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." So death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's Romans 5:12. All people in every country die because we are all the descendants of Adam. Now, it's important for us to understand as we look back over our lesson here and realize that the devil did not make them do it. Satan was an influence. He was there just as he is to you and I today. But Adam and Eve knew what God had said, but they had deliberately disobeyed him anyway. Think about the tremendous love that God had poured out upon Adam and Eve. What a crime against God, you see. He had created everything good and beautiful and useful just for them. He created them and breathed into them the breath of life, and they became a living soul. You see, he was their loving creator, and he communicated with them, telling them everything they would need to know. Think of the horrible consequences of their sin and of our sin as we face our loving and holy God. But think of this, my friend, that in the moment of their desperate hour, that God has made the promise of a way of escape. He's made a display of his grace, a favor that is absolutely uncalled for, unworthy, and totally unmerited. You see, many people in our society today feel that they deserve forgiveness, but they have a terribly twisted view of who God is and how absolutely consistent he is. He says that the payment for sin is death. And when people feel that God owes them a forgiveness, or by some means they're just not that bad, or that they can justify themselves by putting on good clothing of righteousness, such as those fig leaves. Oh, maybe yours aren't fig leaves, but maybe they're going to church. Maybe they're doing good things. Maybe they're treating your family kindly, which you should do. But we do all kinds of good things to justify ourselves before God, to make him think, or attempt to make him think, that we really aren't the sinners at heart that we are. But the friends, the Bible tells us that when we disobey God and when we disobey his word, the penalty for sin is death. That penalty of death rests upon you and I today, my friend. And the only way of escape, the only ray of hope, is that promise that was given in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Once again, the scripture tells us that God planned that the promised deliverer, the one who would bring freedom from the captivity to sin and Satan, would be the child of a virgin woman. It does not talk about their offspring. It talks about her offspring, her child, the seed of the woman. God is promising a seed at the moment when he had no reason to give them any promise of hope whatsoever. They indeed must have thought that death would be imminent in that they would physically die as well. But Satan had lied to them, you see. He hadn't caused them to understand that separation from God was true death. That is real separation, really being cut off from the source of your life. And he was limiting it to the physical death. And here we see that in spite of the curse of sin, that God promises hope through the seed of the woman. And he says that this would be one who would be in authority, that one would be the head of a great power, and that he would crush the serpent's head, although the heel of the deliverer would be bruised. Now, God is giving us the promise of hope when there is no hope, my friend, and that is known as the grace of God, giving us what we are undeserving of, giving us hope when there is no hope, giving us a way of escape when there is no way of escape. And that's precisely what God did for them in the garden here, even though the consequences of sin while they remained on this earth were grievous indeed. Hard work, hard childbearing, hard labor for delivery of children, and submission to a husband as the head of the home. Now, it's a marvelous thing that God has promised even hope in a difficult situation of a home and marriage where there is sin, where there is disobedience to God, and where there is a abuse of authority in the husband and wife relationship. You see, God has an answer for every need. And if your need is that which you can call out to God for help in, and you can if you will. You see, God has the answers to those situations. We realize that the abuse, that the difficulties of our day are a result of sin, but God has decreed that the husband-wife relationship would be in an order that is similar to man's being in subjection to God. And he will bring glory out of a situation that's difficult if you'll allow him to be first place in your life. If you'll listen to what he has to say about the consequences of sin and what the remedy for that sin is. Now, as we look back over these last two lessons, we see that God called Adam, not because he didn't know where he was. No, he knew where Adam and Eve were. He knew right where they were, but he wanted them to voluntarily come to him and admit their sin. They couldn't hide from God because nobody can hide from God. No matter where we are, he can see us at all times, in the dark as well as in the light. You see, nobody can hide from God, and Adam and Eve couldn't hide from God, and neither could you and I. God had the right to call and question them because God was Adam's creator. Adam and Eve belonged to God, and God made Adam and Eve to love and obey him. God had the right to demand obedience, you see, because he gave life to everyone. He has the right to demand obedience today. He has the right to hold us accountable today, just as he held Adam and Eve accountable then. Now, God's curse on the snake from that time to this was to crawl on his belly. Before he had not, but the scripture tells us, from here on he would crawl on his belly. You see, Satan and the spirits can't hide from God either. They can't hide anything from God. He knows their every thought, just as he knew Adam and Eve's thought, and he knows your thoughts and mine today. In the midst of this curse, God promised to send a deliverer. And how was this deliverer to come? Through the seed of the woman. What did God say that the virgin son would do? He would overcome Satan and deliver man from the death and the power of Satan that was to come. You see, why did God promise the deliverer for man? Because God loves us. In the most desperate of situations, God promised hope to mankind through the deliverer. God had the right to cut them off right at that point. But you see, here is the picture of God's grace. God's grace is giving us what we need rather than what we deserve. That's His mercy to us, not giving us the punishment that we deserve at the moment. But it will come if we continue to refuse to respond to Him, you see. Now, we need to understand that God's grace and mercy are God's responses to man's sin. And they weren't needed before man's sin. You see, before man's sin, they lived in the grace of God. Everything had been provided for them. But now that man has sinned and is under the penalty of death, the only hope for escape, the only hope for anything than eternal punishment in the lake of fire is to come to God God's way through the promise of a deliverer, one who would deliver us from the power of Satan and from the power of sin in our lives. Do you see the contrast, the before and after of these lessons? Do you understand that before they had been friends with God, now they were enemies? They had been under God's control, and now they were under Satan's control. They had had the opportunity to live forever with God, and now they faced eternity in the lake of fire away from God's presence. Eve had been given to Adam as a co-ruler, a helper, with Adam in ruling over the earth and taking care of all that God had commissioned to him. And now Adam was to rule over her. Then look at the contrast of their daily life and their health. Adam's work had been pleasant, and now it would be hard because of weeds and pests, and that would make gardening very difficult. And neither Adam or Eve had known pain. Now Eve was to experience much pain in childbirth, and both of them would be subject to suffering and disease and death. And then as we close today's broadcast, we're reminded that the first of all people were Adam and Eve. You and I are descendants. All races are descendants of Adam and Eve. And why do people still die? Because Adam disobeyed God. And because of that, all of Adam's descendants die. Join me again tomorrow with the next edition of Bible Foundations.